Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today we will continue in our new series of studies, which we have entitled, Why the Bible Was Written. And you will notice in these studies that we quote from the Bible itself, telling us why it was written. We will answer the question from the Bible, why the Bible was written. Now we're going to turn to the Apostle John today to show us why he wrote as he did in the Scriptures. We read in the 20th chapter of John, the Gospel according to St. John, verses 30 and 31, these words, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, ye might have life through his name." Now that's plain as words can be. "Which are not written in this book, not written in his gospel, many other things, but these are written specifically that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, ye might have life through his name." Now that calls for further expansion. And we're going to expand it, and we're going to turn to the first chapter of John's Gospel and see what he means by this statement that he has just made as to why he wrote his epistle. Now, in verse 29 of the first chapter of John, we see him bringing forward the Lord Jesus Christ in his mission. We're speaking of Christ during this series of studies as to his mission and then as to his majesty. And we see both of them in this study today. Here is his mission. "The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now, he had a Jewish audience. He had plenty of audience. John was a popular man. This is John the Baptist, not John the Apostle. John the Apostle does not mention his name. We will notice that in our study later in the broadcast. He does not mention his name. He wants Christ to have all the glory. "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." I can fancy those Jewish people saying, "Oh, I see now why we had the Old Testament sacrifices." Now, the word in the Old Testament was that if a person sinned, he was to bring a little lamb, and he was to bring it to the priest. He was to put his hand on the head of the lamb and slay the lamb, and that lamb was offered up on the altar for him, dying in his place for his sin. Now, that was the way that they received the atonement, which means simply to cover over. That word cover over means, or the word atonement means simply to cover over. Those sacrifices did not take away those sins. They pointed forward to the time when Christ would come and take away the sin of the world. Now, each one who brought the offering had the privilege of selecting his own lamb. But notice today, please. "The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Not covers over, takes it away. And you see, he is the Lamb of God's provision. God provided the lamb that would take away your sin and mine when he died for those sins on the cross of Calvary. He did not leave that choice with us. He made the choice, trusting, of course, that we would be pleased with his choice. Are you satisfied with his choice? I am. I would not dare make this choice. But what I couldn't dare to do, wouldn't dare to do, God does. He makes the choice, and he chose Christ to die for you and for me, for our sins, that we might not receive simply the atonement, the covering, but that we might see the sins taken away. Now later, in this chapter, verse 29, we've read verse 29, this is the mission of the Lord. Now in verse 35, we read again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And two disciples heard him speak, two disciples of John the Baptist, and they followed Jesus. Now there was something in this statement that struck those two men. The awe with which John the Baptist spoke, "Behold the Lamb of God." He's almost musing. He's almost just speaking from his heart. But they left John the Baptist in all his wonderful personality, and they followed Jesus. And that's just exactly what John wanted. And when they followed him, then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, well doest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. And one of the two which heard John speak followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. I'm going to read that sentence again, or that verse again rather. One of the two which heard John speak followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now we're not told who the other one was. It was John the apostle. Six times in the scripture he refers to himself in the out of a he does not identify himself. He refers to himself four or five times as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Well, there's no objection to that. But he wants Christ to have the glory. He's speaking of his majesty. Now, let's go through the book of John, the third chapter of the book of John, the conversion of Nicodemus. There was a man of the Pharisees, Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit," capital S, the Spirit of God, "he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now we were born into the human family, which is in the flesh. We are born into God's family by the Spirit. And the Lord then says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." This is a marvelous scripture. The Spirit of God, the moment that we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, believe John 3:16, which is right down in this same chapter, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God brings the life of Christ within you and me. Don't ask me how he does it. I don't know. It's the Spirit's responsibility. He brings that life and puts it in me, and I am born into the family of God, and so are you if you believe it. And you've got to be in God's family to be in heaven. You can't be in heaven by virtue of the fact that you was born into an earthly family. Oh, the new birth is absolutely necessary. Now, further, in the fourth chapter of John's Gospel, the Lord meets a Samaritan woman, the despised Samaritans. He was sitting on a well. He wanted to drink. This woman came along, and he says, "Give me to drink," and she was amazed. He was a Jew, and he was speaking to her, a Samaritan woman. And she makes a statement of the fact. "How is it thou, being a Jew, speakest to me?" For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And the Lord told her, he says, you come here to thirst, slake your thirst. I can give you water that will satisfy your soul. And she asks for the water. She asks for the water. He says, behold, the Lord says, whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman knew immediately that this was a man of God. She said, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And that's exactly what he was. Now, she had to own her sin, and Christ saw to it that she had to own her sin. And before that meeting was over, that woman trusted in him and was saved. Now, in the fifth chapter of John's Gospel, we see the necessity. Oh, these are such significant chapters. We have the need met in chapter 3. We see the necessity of the new birth there. And we see the means of the new birth in John 3:16. Now, in John chapter 5 and verse 24, John faithfully tells us the only escape from eternal judgment. And he reads, he says, speaks of himself, verse 24 of the fifth chapter of John's Gospel. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Oh, what words, fraught with meaning, fraught with blessing to our souls. He that heareth my word, have we really heard him today, telling us that he loves us, that he died for us? He that believeth on me that sent me, and believes on him that sent me. Why did God send his son? We read in John's epistle, first epistle, God sent his son into the world to be a propitiation for our sins. And he says, if you believe that, you'll have everlasting life, and you will escape eternal judgment. Oh, how wonderful he does speak. In the fifth chapter of John's Gospel, he met the Samaritan woman, as we understood, but now he meets a godly man, and he tells him, he meets the godly man in the third chapter. He meets a Samaritan woman in chapter 4, and now he is speaking to a larger audience in chapter 5. And he says, he that believeth, verily, verily, I say unto you, I can't do better than to read the scripture over again. He that heareth my word, have we heard it? And believeth on him that sent me, was he sent? Yes, he was. Hath everlasting life. Now, he said that. Do you believe it? Shall not come into condemnation, no judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Oh, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your dear Son. In his name, amen.